Last week, Reverend Sean Finnegan mentioned that we are in a series that we are calling the spiritual realm. Last week, Sean did a great sharing on Noah and the time of Noah, and we saw in that teaching that at that time in the world there were the Nephilim, remember? The Nephilim, and there were the sons of God, there were angels that did not obey, did not do what they were allowed to do before God. And Sean showed us from there in the book of Peter that these angels are put in chains until the day of judgment. They're in a spiritual God's prison. I don't know. But I know this, if they are in God's holding cell, they ain't getting out. And they caused the fourth, whatever they did brought about the evil that came into the world that caused the flood way back in Genesis. Today we're going to continue in this study of the spiritual realm, and today it is the spiritual battle. And I can tell you that there are still many evil forces in the world that still influence everything around us. And we're going to look at that today. I'm going to first start with this verse before we go to Ephesians. It says, 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. It is not God's desire for his people, his children, to be ignorant of Satan's schemes. The devil, Satan, has schemes. He has methodologies. Working, what we would say, working behind the scenes. Today's teaching is going to be a little bit different than maybe other teachings. Today it's an expose of the devil. For many people, they are ignorant of the Satan, that there is an evil influence in this world. And I'd like to take you through scriptures. And it actually, in putting this together, I was amazed how many scriptures there are regarding this subject. I have a lot of verses that we're going to have up on the slides, just so we don't have to take the time to look at them, because there is so much written about Satan and how he operates. I'm going to try and do this in 45 minutes. There's no way I can really cover this adequately. We do have a class called The Spiritual Realm that we have available where Reverend Finnegan does a great job in a 16-hour session class going through this whole topic. But he does not want us ignorant of his devices. We're in a spiritual battle. Now, for some of you today, this may be new information. I know the first time I heard about a devil, when I realized he wasn't just this little cartoon character with little red horns and a pitchfork, but that there was a real evil influence in the world that the Bible very explicitly talks about, it was eye-opening to me. I was like, whoa! There really is a devil. And it's amazing. I was talking with Craig earlier. There's some people who don't think there's a God, but they think there's a devil. And there's other people that think there's a God, but they don't think there's a devil. There's both. There are spiritual forces at work in the world, and we're going to take a look at that this morning. It's a spiritual battle. We are going to be enlightened this morning from the scriptures about the spiritual realm and this battle that has been going on and raging since the fall of man. Ephesians 6, verse 10 in your Bibles. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. See that again? There are schemes. There are plans. He has ways and means by which he operates and functions. And we are to stand firm against these schemes. For our struggle, the struggle that we have, is not against flesh and blood, but rather it is against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. These are some pretty wild words. And you have to ask yourself the question, is the Bible just a make-believe book, or is it the truth? And is this the truth, that our wrestle and our struggle is not in the senses realm, but in reality there is a spiritual realm with spiritual powers that are constantly against us, to whom our struggle is truly against? Most people in this world, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Most people in this world are oblivious to not only God, but to Satan. And that there are spiritual forces, that there are spiritual influences that are all around us. Ephesians 2:1 talks about where we used to be. Verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. You see that? This is how we walked before we knew Christ, before we had the Spirit, before we had the Bible and the Word of God and understood these things. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among them, we too also formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were blinded by the powers of this world. We did not see what was really going on. Any of you guys ever see The Matrix? Right? And he sits there and he's says, do you want to just continue living in this fantasy world? Or do you want to see what's real? And he says, you want to take the green pill, the blue pill, or the red pill? Tomorrow, we're going to ask you to take the red pill. We're going to take a look at really what's going on behind the scenes. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the glorious gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is a God of this world who blinds people. Why does it seem so difficult for people to hear the gospel message? Why does it seem so difficult for you to speak the gospel message? I think we want to consider that there may be spiritual forces at work in the world that causes this blindness, that causes people not to be able to see the light. Paul spoke in Acts, and he said one of his missions was to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. From the dominion that controls and influences the course of this world to the dominion who brought through Jesus Christ our salvation and which has a kingdom coming. That's what we're talking about in the spiritual realm. These forces exist. You see, in the Bible, the devil, Satan, is a real being. He is not some make-believe image. He is called in the Bible here, back in Corinthians that we read, the God of this age. He has a kingdom. He has spirits that work for him. He has a whole kingdom set up with generals and princes and all the way down the line to his demons that are all around the world. He and his spiritual forces rule over the kingdoms. I want you to look at this verse when Jesus was tempted of the devil. It says he led him up. He, the devil, led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil did this. And the devil said to Jesus, he said to him, I will give you all this dominion and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. That's quite a statement. Now, if this wasn't true, Jesus probably would have said, liar. Well, he didn't say that, because he is the God of this world. He does have a kingdom. He rules over the kingdoms in the course of this world, and he gives his power to whomever he wills. What Jesus defeated him was with, it is written. And he held the word of God in his mind, and he stayed focused on what the scriptures say. Here's a verse I found amazing in 1 John 5:19. It says, we know that we are of God. Look at this. And that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world lies under the power of the dominion of Satan. We have been rescued out from that. But we need to understand that this is a real powerful influence that is all around us all the time. And there's a spiritual battle that rages. And you can be oblivious to it. And you can say, oh, I don't want to think about that. I don't think it really exists. Or you can say, wow, give me the tools to fight it. Give me the tools to battle. Let me know what I need to do so I can recognize the spiritual influence in my life and I can say, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. And to have the power of God latent within us that is with the new birth and with the Spirit He's given us. Because it says He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Throughout the Bible, the Scriptures give windows of the spiritual realm that you can see, even in the Old Testament. Jesus really brought forth an understanding of the devil and demons, like nobody's business. But in the Old Testament, they also understood there were spiritual things. It often seems in life, in the natural realm, it's like it's struggles, like this person is fighting that person. Or this organization clashes with that organization. Or this nation fights this nation. And it's all senses realm based. We live in this world, but we need to recognize that there are spiritual forces that work behind the scenes to bring about the evil that we see around us. Satan is like the master puppeteer. You know, puppets, you see the show and all the puppets dance. But there's someone behind the scenes pulling the strings, controlling things going on. That's where you get the phrase pulling the strings. You know, there's hidden strings. There's hidden schemes. Like a master puppeteer pulling the strings, Satan's forces are at work behind the scenes. You ever look around the world? The craziness around us? You ever look? Why are people killing people? It's crazy. Why do nations go and they just blow each other up and fight each other? It's crazy. Why is there such sick moral depravity? Why is there acceptance of ungodly behavior? And even to the fact that we say that the ungodly behavior is good behavior. Why are there evil actions all around us on television, on the internet, which are filled with sensual, evil images? You ever ask yourself, how could things be this crazy? because it's a spiritual battle. Satan and his forces are working behind the scenes. There's different sections of Scripture that give us and open this window. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And I'd like to just briefly look at some of these. I'm not going to go in depth into these records. I just want to bring it out to you and show you that God shows us windows of what's going on in the spiritual realm. Revelation 12 says, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third stars of the heaven and drew them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might deliver her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had placed prepared for God, so that she would be there nourished for 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth, who deceives the whole world. You see that? He deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Here you have a picture in heaven of a woman, and we know from the Scripture, you follow this, the woman really is the nation of Israel, and the man-child that she delivered was the Christ, the Jesus who was born, the Messiah, the Redeemer for mankind. And this war raged to try and defeat this one. And now it shows here in Revelation that these serpents, these angels, were cast down to the earth. Now, I don't know, I've heard different interpretations about this, that it's talking about what's happened all the way to the past. I also have heard interpretation that this is talking about those final 3.5 years when the Great Tribulation, when it's really bad, that these demons just go wild on the earth. I don't know. This I know. Here's a little window that there's spiritual stuff going on. There are spiritual forces behind what we see in the census realm. It is a spiritual realm that we need to wake up to. Turn to 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Show you just a couple little records in the Old Testament where you can see some of the spiritual battle, where little windows are opened up right in the middle of a story, then all of a sudden, boop, let's show you what's going on. I like it. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'll show you another verse I just wanted to put on the slide. In Jude 1:9, it shows a little bit about this. It says, but Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, that's a crazy verse. But for some reason, Michael, the archangel, and the devil fought over the body of Moses. That's what it says. There's a spiritual battle going on. There are spiritual things that happen. That's one of those little examples. Here in 2 Kings is a great story. I just want to read this with you. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. Now the king of Aram, and this is Syria. If you have King James Version, it'll say Syria, was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass this place for the Arameans. The Syrians are coming down there. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him, and he warned him so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. You know what this means? Syria is fighting an army against Israel. God tells the prophet, Elijah, he says, hey, the Syrians are going to come there. So the king of Israel says, okay, we're going to leave there. Syrians get there, boom, there's no Israelites there. Happens a couple times. King of Syria starts going, what's going on? Verse 11, now the heart of the king of Aram, Syria, was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants. This is his security council, right? It's like the president calls a security council. These guys, they're the only ones that know what's going on. He calls them all into a room. And he says to them, you tell me which one of you is for the king of Israel. I got a spy in my inner circle. You're the only ones I told about where we're going this. Who's feeding the information to Israel? And one of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He's telling them everything about you, king. This prophet over there. And he said, go and see where he is and send him and take him. So it was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. So the Syrian king says, send the army. Go get that prophet. You bring him here. He sent horses and chariots and great army. They take this great army to circle the city to just get this one little old prophet. Verse 15. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? Elijah's sitting there having a cup of tea. Maybe it was a Starbucks. He's having a little cup of tea. His servant says, master, there's an army all around the city. What are we going to do? He takes a sip of tea. And so he answered. Elijah says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Servant looks, he goes, all I see is you and me. And there's an army, chariots, horses, all around. And Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, O Yahweh, I pray, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. He showed him the spiritual realm. He that's with us is greater than he that's with them. They had angels and chariots of fire all around him. You can go on to read the record. Elijah prays. All those men that come, they go blind. He says, here, I'll show you where you want to go. And he leads them right into the camp of Israel, the king. They're all surrounded by the king, the Israelite army. And he says, okay, Lord, open their eyes. They open their eyes. And the king of Israel says, you want to kill them? He goes, nah, feed them. Send them home. Send them home. There was peace in the land all the time of that king. After that, the king of Syria. Now, there's a way to solve a world crisis, huh? No one got hurt. No one got killed. They opened the eyes to the spiritual realm that surrounds us. Look at Daniel. Daniel, here's another great record. Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed.
On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Upaz. His body was like beryl, his face had appearance of lightning, his eyes were flaming torches, his arms, feet like gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. What you have here is Daniel's trying to understand these visions. He's trying to understand what God is trying to communicate to him. And he knows he can't, in his own ability, understand and comprehend. And so he starts to pray and fast. For 21 days, Daniel fasts and prays. Lord, I want to understand. And then after 21 days, this angel appears in a vision to Daniel. I don't know, I think it's Gabriel. He's never announced here, but Gabriel's the angel that visited Daniel in some other visions. Verse 10, then behold, a hand touched me, and he sat trembling on my hands and knees, and he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, this angel says to Daniel, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to response to your words. But the prince of the king of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. You can read on in the record, but I think you get the point. For as soon as he started praying, God sent an angel to him to give him his answer. And the angel came across another spirit being, the prince of Persia. That would be the spiritual being that oversees that kingdom. Do you get it? There's spiritual forces going on. Michael comes to aid this angel, I think it's Gabriel, and fights the king of this prince of Persia, so that this angel could get to Daniel to give an answer to his prayer. Don't tell me there's not spiritual stuff going on. You see, there's things that happen around us. Things that happen in the spirit. Here's another little example of a little window of spiritual forces going on in the midst of a man praying. It's pretty something, huh? So there's a little bit about those things. I'll just show you these verses on here. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion of Christ. He said, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, some verses would say his subtleness, his subtlety, his sneakiness. The devil is subtle. He's crafty. He's seductive. These are his schemes. This is how he operates. People don't even, they don't even know that he's there. They don't even know why they do the things they do. They just do them because it's what they do. They do them because everybody does it. And everybody says it's okay. Well, where's everybody getting their influence from? You get it? They're just blind. We just walk. I'm in the world. There's spiritual stuff going on. And the Satan, through his subtlety,
He traps us. You see, if any of us ever really understood and really saw the evil influence that is behind what causes us to do things that we know are not in God's Word, if we ever really saw the true evil of the devil, we'd never fall for it. If he ever really revealed himself, who would follow that? You would run the other way. You know, we would say, I would never follow the devil. I never in a million years would I follow this guy. He doesn't come that way to people. He disguises. He's subtle. He's crafty. You see, no one would fall into his snare if they actually saw the pure evil one. You may say, I'd never worship the devil. I'd never allow such an evil being into my life. We need to recognize his schemes. Our battle is to recognize the attack. And the scriptures are very clear how the devil influences the world. And right now, I just don't have time. All these verses are in your notes. You can go through these. But this is where the battle lies. You know where it lies? In between the ears. It lies in our brains. It lies in the information that comes to us through the senses realm and the things which we associate with in our lives. And it's his schemes that want to trap you in his ways. Look at some of these verses. And these very clearly will show you that it's Satan. It's the devil. It's spiritual influence behind these actions. First of all, don't be quarrelsome. Don't get in fights. Why do you want to get in a fight? 2 Timothy 2:23 through 24, it says, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. But the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient with wrong. Look at this verse. Rather than quarrel, the way you defeat the adversary in this attack is you be gentle. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Look at this next verse. Shows you the spiritual force behind this. And that they may come out of their senses. That they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil who has been held captive by him to do his will. Someone wants to bait you into a quarrel? Hold on a minute. Stop. Stop. There are spiritual forces here. God's wisdom doesn't try to get you into a quarrel. So, you recognize it. And the way you defeat it, should be gentle. You, be gentle. Be gentle. Be harmless. Be patient. Don't let Satan's attack influence you. Here's another one. Pride and conceit. Pride. 1 Timothy 3, 6 and 7, and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into what? The condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation in those outside the church so that he will not fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Pride is of the devil. Pride and arrogance, self-conceited, those things, when you begin to start thinking of yourself more than you ought to think, you start saying, hey, I'm pretty something. Hold on a minute. Just stop it. Stop it right there. Just stop it. You're nothing. Okay? Humble. Humility. Humility is the
antecedent to pride. Here's one. Covetous. Greed. Greedy. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money's not evil, but that love of money, that covetous, that greedy, that want to have it, where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. There are spirit. What do you think all the advertisements feed upon? They feed upon your lust. Gotta have it. Gotta have it now. You know, who controls these things? There are spiritual forces in the world. And then this one, I love as it ends here because it talks about being in the fight. But flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life to which you were called and you were made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. And we got a good captain on our side, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can win the battle every time with Christ within us. Here's another one. Jealousy, selfish ambition, James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Can you have it any clearer? This does not come from above. So, if I see my brother or I see a coworker who's making more money than me, and I sit there and I say, well, why is he making more money than me? Hold it a minute! That's jealousy. Where's that coming from? It's not coming from God. It's not coming from God. Jealousy, selfish ambition, this wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and self ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. There. I mean, you know, you can't get around. Either the Bible's a true or it's a lie. And we've got to start believing it's true. And recognize these little attacks for what they are. And stop them right then and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get that thought out of my brain. It doesn't belong there. Has no business being there. Not in my life. Because I'm a child of God. And that's to whom I serve, is my Lord Jesus Christ. And all this junk doesn't need to be in my life. And you take care of it right then and there, quickly. Here's one. Lust. Lust. Why is there so much lust on the internet and on television and in advertising all over the place? Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. Where does it come from? 1 John 2:15. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the evil one that's in the world. So you recognize it. Shut down the internet. Shut off. Turn the channel. Recognize the attack and stop it. Recognize this ain't what I'm supposed to be putting my eyes on. This is not what God has said. Because if I do, I'm allowing demonic forces into my brain. I'm not saying you're getting possessed, but you're allowing his influence into your life. Why would we want that being in our life? I don't. Don't want them anywhere near me. So, idolatry. Idolatry. The worship of other gods. Idolatry is actually worshiping. You'll see, I'm going to show you some verses. Demons. Gods of this world. Spiritual beings of this world. Today we make idols out of people in our day and time. It's huge in society. You ever notice that? All the idols that our little kids get to idolize. Have you ever looked at some famous person who the world seems to idolize and say to yourself, what a whack job. You ever done that? And you say to yourself, why in the world would people so enthralled with this individual? Why would the teenage girls go, ah! Over this, whatever it is. Why do we idolize it? With unbridled loyalty. Why is that? It's spiritual. There's a spiritual battle that rages behind the scenes. Look at just some of these verses. I'm going to go through these real quick, but they're in your notes. Deuteronomy 32, 17. They sacrificed unto devils. They didn't actually sacrifice to devils. They sacrificed to idols. The devils were behind the idols, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, and to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. 2 Chronicles 11:15, and he ordained him priests for the high places. This is talking about Jeroboam, who set up golden calves on each end of Israel. And it says they ordained priests, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. There were spiritual beings behind these idols that were made at the time of Jeroboam. Psalm 106, this verse is talking about when the people of Israel got so bad they sacrificed their children to the god Moloch. They weren't sacrificing to Moloch. Well, it looked like they were sacrificing Moloch. They were sacrificing to, Psalm 106, 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, unto demons that were behind the idols that existed. This is the scripture. It just is what it is. It's what it says. Now, we can either believe that, we can hide under a rug, or we can acknowledge the truth, that idolatry is demonic, very demonic, that takes the hearts and minds of people to worship and to honor and to put their time and energies into something that has nothing behind it except the power of Satan. And that's what it is. It's really a sick world. It wasn't any better in the time of Christ, at the time of the disciples. Corinth was filled with idolatries, the Roman gods and their goddesses. Interesting things here in Corinthians. It says, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols. We know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. We know the idol is just this thing, a stone or thing. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, indeed there are many gods and many lords. There's many of these spiritual beings, many of these spiritual princes and gods in this world. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. However, not all men have this knowledge, it says, and they sacrifice to these idols. Then later he gets very specific in 2 Corinthians 10. What do I mean then? What am I trying to tell you about this sacrificing to idols? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? Like that stone or that wood or that thing that they're doing, that really is anything? No! No, look what he says. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and not to want to become sharers in the demons. That's the truth. Was it true in the Old Testament? It's true in the New Testament. Idolatry is demonic. So, wake up! That's this one. Be on the alert. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. That's why we can help each other in these endeavors. That's why you can go to counseling and have a brother or sister pray with you and help you if you're having issues.
in this area because these forces are real. But we can help each other. But you can't help each other if you don't wake up. Wake up and recognize that it is a spiritual realm in which we live. It's a spiritual realm. Here's four quick little things. Simple ways to defeat and that we take in the spiritual battle. Pray. Prayer. Jesus said in the Gospels, deliver us from evil. What do you think he said that for? Because he knew that we need to pray. You can't handle the demonic influence on your own. But with God, through Jesus Christ, we can defeat anything. So pray. Deliver us from evil. Daily pray. Lord, if there's evil in my world today, show it to me. Reveal it to me. Let me be on the alert. Let me be awake to the spiritual realm today. Do that this week. Go out in this world with your eyes open. Lord, open my eyes to what's really going on. Let him show you. Let him show you the spiritual ballad and what you have. Another thing, avoid it. Just don't go there. If going someplace or watching some television show or watching something on the internet takes you into places you shouldn't be, don't go there. Avoid it. Another one, walk away. When you recognize that something's evil, just walk away. I wish I had that verse in Proverbs. It says, walk away, run, get out of there. Woo, skedaddle. Just go. Walk away. And then finally, put on the word. Jesus Christ defeated the Satan by saying, it is written. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. It is written. It is written. He knew the scripture. He spoke the scripture. In Ephesians 6, talking about our armor of God, our offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. And I truly believe that the most powerful way that we can defeat the adversary is go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Because then he doesn't know what to do. You look in the Acts, when they started preaching the gospel, the devil spirits go wild. One devil spirit jumps on other devil spirits. When Jesus was speaking the word, the devil spirits went berserk. They revealed themselves. And then you say, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching here. You know, when Paul was it, that guy, the son of the devil, went blind when he was trying to preach. Preach it, speak it, put the word on in our mind, and carry forth our sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is the greatest way. You got to study the Bible. If your head is not in the Bible, you need to spend more time in the Bible than you spend in the things of the world and the influence. This is where you get spiritual knowledge about the truth, right here. Don't just come here on Sunday, but read it. Get your head in the book and look at what's going on. Look at the truth of the spiritual realm that we have been given in the Word of God. It is our sword. It is what we have to defeat. And I'll leave you with one verse that you can take with you. This is one of the first verses that I learned in my spiritual walk as a very young Christian when I was a teenager. Carried this, and whenever I was having a tough time and I knew I was getting influenced, and I felt like I couldn't defeat, I used to quote this verse to myself, to my brain, all the time. And I'll leave this with you today. Jesus Christ has overcome. Christ is in you. 1 John 4:4. Ye are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ ascended above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And he right now is at the very right hand of God. And when you call upon him in faith and in sincerity, not with pride, but with a desire to do his will, you could defeat any demonic power. Carry this verse, and when that comes, you say, get thee behind me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. John 4:4, take that. Yeah, because the word of God is powerful. And find yourself a whole assembly of verses to be your arsenal that you can carry with you in this world. Pray and wake up. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, thank you for the great truths that you've revealed to us about this world we live in. God, that we don't need to be blinded. We don't need to be hidden from, but we can understand the truth. And God, then give us the boldness to go out into a dark world, out into a world that's dying, where people just don't know, and give us the boldness to reach out and let people know about truly what is going on in this world. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.